SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Late night anger, Masterclass. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. And then it was over. It's over! The Stanley Cup Finals are done. The Tampa Bay Lightning are partying right now, drinking beers and more. Living it up back-to-back in the City of Champions. And meanwhile, right now, the Montreal Canadiens are... what time is it now? So it's 2... I imagine right now the Canadiens are either just landing or like they're in the air right now type of deal. I guess they were forced to talk to the media after and then to get on the plane. So... you know, you could say, oh, long plane ride back. No. I think there's probably, you know, you get that sense of relief and stuff like that. And plus, we fans, the players are into it, but it's a job for them, right? So, I remember there was a video of a dude on Vegas last year. It was pretty cool. You know, and I was like, you know, you remember when you see the video, to them and to us is different, right? So, it was a player on Vegas. He didn't see his kid and his wife, right? They were in a bubble and all that. And they surprised his daughter type thing. The garage door open, and he was standing in the driveway. And she was like, Daddy, Daddy. And she ran out and started crying and hugging him. And she said, did you win? And he said, no, but that doesn't matter. He picked her up and he hugged her and stuff. And that's the thing, right? To us, like, we're just degenerate fans. So it's like, oh, God, I can't believe they lost. If you're a player on the Canadiens, you're like, man, that was a hell of a run. And it's human nature. How many guys on the team right now are already on the plane thinking, well, I'm going to ask for more money. I probably won't be here next year because I'm going to get paid somewhere else. They're not going to want to pay. It's almost like the Reggie Jackson thing. Even though Reggie did break down in tears, say thanks for the Clippers for saving him. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But Mo Dekeel's going to step up and we're going to the NBA Finals. There was craziness today. And I want to ask Matthias. You know, Matthias, I saw it's one of these deals where it was sort of like Tampa and Montreal tonight. Like, England were the better side. All right? England were the better side. I get it. But you play 102 minutes at that time, and you're tied. I don't like seeing it decided like that. And remember yesterday, guys, with Italy and Spain? Italy got, not only did they got lucky, they made the right call. But there was a handball in the box, man. It hit an Italian defender's arm in the box. It was no, like, maybe it did. It did, right? It did. And in the old days, it would have been sort of militaristic, like, yo, yo, yo. It hit his arm in the box. There's nothing to argue about here. Like, that's a penalty kick. They decided, the ref said, no, no, play on. No, no. And why? Because they have that new little more leeway now to say, you know what? Yeah, it hit his arm, but it didn't affect the play. All right, there was body motion, etc. Wasn't like if you do, you know what I mean? That was not worthy of calling a penalty kick today. He didn't get touched. Sterling was playing for it and dove, and they fell for it. Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. Mo Dekeel will step up and in a couple of minutes. Jump, 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 and talk some basketball with Mo. NBA Finals. Just talking about England and Denmark right now. What did you think, Matthias, of the penalty kick? If you call that in the first 5 minutes of a match, fine, and you're setting the tone and you're letting the guys know, hey, but listen, I'm going to call everything. And they went to VAR, they went to the video, which is garbage. Dude, it did not affect anything. And another thing is, he had nowhere to go, right? Like, they bailed him out. It was almost like bailing out a basketball player on the baseline. You know what I'm saying? He had nowhere to go. There were two Danes and a goalie there. It wasn't like a dangerous threat, even though it was where it was on the pitch, Matthias. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, Gabe. I thought that was a terrible call. I don't think it was a penalty shot whatsoever. Sterling went through the space. He didn't get tripped up. Just a bad call and atrocious call after the VAR. When they went to VAR, I thought they were actually going to switch the call because I thought that they had enough evidence to show that Sterling dove. So I was kind of shocked.
He got tripped up, whatever.
It wasn't even a trip. He knew that his leg was right there.
Exactly. It wasn't even a trip. But the thing is, they could have, like, once they looked and saw, they could have said, all right. Because originally, even you'd say, all right, you got bumped a little bit. But he didn't. He played into it. And then he even had a little smirk on his face after. And then it really pissed me off that Kane gets stopped, you know, and whatever. People on a goalie should have hit it. Something like the hell, you know what I mean? It's a little tough, right? But he's right. They're right. The goalie, whatever, man. Like, you made the save, and it went right back to Kane. Right? And on a penalty kick in a shootout, there's no rebound. But in the game, there is. That's the thing. In the game, there is, right? Because if there was, it'd be a little different in the penalty kicks. Right? But, like, even though the guy in Columbia the other night did think there was two kicks. He did. He scored, and then he kicked it again. But, that was good. That was getting booted into the stands. He scores. I'm surprised they didn't card him for that, actually. But that's South America. What are they going to do, right? They're like, no, it's cool. Exactly. You do that in an MLS game, bro, you're getting fined, bro. They're like, you can't do that. You can't kick the ball to the stands after a penalty kick like that. Like, you know what I mean? It was too good. But, like, it was like, were England better? Probably, whatever. Still, it was probably doing a penalty kick, so anything could happen. I thought the Danes got screwed. You let them play. You let the players decide at that point. It was not a scoring chance. And as Matthias said, when you check it, you really see, he wasn't even touched. He just flopped. Video replay. What's the point if you're not going to? It's like the NFL. You're all useless.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, pulling it down on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's bring in one of our favorite guests to talk hoops with. Mo DeKeel steps up and in The Athletic, The Bleacher Report, and Jump Ball as well. The JumpBall.net. And I just gotta wonder, Jump is a pretty popular name this week. I wonder how many people are searching for Rachel Nichols, and you're popping up, bro.
I'll take it. That's kind of the deal, right? You don't have to do all of those things to be able to lure people. So.
Exactly. You're telling your boys, I told you it was a good name to jump on. I told you, man. Mo DeKeel with us. So, Mo, game one is in the books. I think I got three words can describe what happened in game one, right? Pick and roll. Pick and, it's like rock and roll. Pick and roll. I don't want to get too technical and too X and O-ish, but talk to us about the clinic that the Phoenix Suns put on offensively against these guys.
Yeah, I mean, first off, going into the series, I think everybody was waiting to see how the Bucks were going to handle the Suns' pick and roll. In particular, how Lopez was going to be able to deal with it. And the Bucks went into this game starting out by switching Lopez on all of these guys. And I got to tell you, Gabe, as soon as I saw it, I just said, oh, this isn't going to last. This is not a good idea. It's not going to work. And Chris Paul and Devin Booker were able to get whatever shot they wanted off of the pick and roll because they were constantly switching. And now you have Brook Lopez, who's not the fastest guy, not fleet of foot or anything like that, having to defend those guys out on the perimeter, and Chris Paul just getting into his mid-range over and over again really put it on the Bucks. After that, it was even when they put Bobby Portis in, it didn't matter. Chris was ready to roll, and they went back to their drop coverage, but the thing was Lopez was too deep. Basically, the gist of it is the Suns played Brook Lopez off the court in game one, and that's something the Bucks are not going to be able to win this series if Lopez is only going to play 23 minutes a game.
Isn't it asking too much to ask everybody to be constantly switching like this? And, you know, they were a step behind the entire time. And quite frankly, like, yeah, as Bobby Portis has never really been known as a great defender, right? You're talking about Portis, Connington, and even Forbes. Everybody gets lit up right now. Why did they think that Lopez would be able to guard smaller perimeter players that could easily go around him, though?
Well, you know, they had some success in the Atlanta series towards the end. But my whole argument is, you know, that's fine, but none of those guards, and including a hobble Trae Young, are of the caliber of Chris Paul and Devin Booker in the pick and roll. In particular, those guys are hunting the mid-range shots. You know, with Trae Young, you don't have to – Trae Young doesn't pull up in the mid-range at the elbow all that often for a jumper. Chris Paul almost prefers doing that than going in for a layup. It's just the exact opposite of what, you know, they're used to dealing with. So I think they got a little bit excited with the success they had against Atlanta, thinking they could replicate that. And really it was just something more of a circumstances worked out in their favor in the Atlanta series, and they played right into the hands of the Suns.
Mo DeKeel with us. And Mo, is this a fair statement? Let me ask you, because, you know, you think of the Phoenix Suns, and unfortunately now you think of Suns and four, dude. But, you know what I mean? You think of the Phoenix Suns, and you sort of think flashy, right? You know what I mean? Like last year in the bubble, 8-0, Devin Booker dropping 70-plus points, etc. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton was a flashy player in college. But they really are pretty good fundamentally, and they do play some YMCA ball, don't they? Like, they identify the matchup weakness, and they attack it immediately.
They go right at it, and they literally will run the same play over and over again until you prove you can stop it. And you can't be mad at them for that. It's almost mean. At some points, I felt bad, where it's literally like you have Chris Paul and Devin Booker just looking, going like, oh, Bobby Portis is guarding you. Yeah, you come set the screen. I want Bobby. It's almost like a little bit. It's almost like, come on, guys. You know, but and the thing is, too, beyond that, they also just make the right plays. There are instances where Devin Booker will get double, and he'll get off the ball real quickly. He won't force actions. He's Chris Paul for a big three when Holiday came to come over to help. You know, he's finding the opportunities there. I really just like how they're playing all together as a team, and everything's clicking for them right now.
I liked how Devin Booker was, and I got to be honest, I bet on Devin Booker under 28.5 points in game one, and I'm thinking, man, that's tough, bro, dropping 29 points in your NBA Finals debut. So much so, and he got the 20s. Mo, I was flipping out early, bro. I'm like, why is this kid taking it to the rack so much? Stop being so smart. He's getting to the free throw line all the time. I'm like, damn. That's the thing. I mean, there's so many players I want to ask you about, but, you know, Devin Booker, that's what I was talking about, Mo, in a sense. Look, he didn't even get voted to the All-Star game. Not by the fans, not by the players, not by the coaches after. He's known as sort of a flashy, you know, he was known as just sort of a scorer, a flashy player. But talk to me more about what Devin Booker, and as you just stated, him about doing what's right for the team. I don't see a kid forcing shots out there when I see Devin Booker. I see a player that's letting the game come to him, and I see a player that's just about winning the basketball game and not worrying about his stats.
Yeah, I think that was the big thing. I think early on the questions was, is he a good stats guy on a bad team? Can he do this in a winning environment? And just seeing, you know, how he's evolved over the years to the point now where I want to even go back to the earlier series, to the Clippers series. Like, literally every time they came to double, he got off the ball so quickly, especially in game one. He just made the right plays over and over and over again. And it's along those things when you're watching it with Booker and you're just saying, like, man, the guy's evolved. He has a better understanding of the game. And this happens when guys obviously – have been in the league for 5 or 6 years. You know, they tend to get smarter, shockingly. It never works for me. I just get dumber.
Dude, I've been around forever, Mo, and I don't care. Everyone else gets richer and smarter around me. I stay the same.
Right. You and I are on the same boat. But, you know, he's improved in that level. And so he's understanding, too, that, like, I don't have to score necessarily to have an impact on the game. You know, just his drive to the rim and getting fouled and getting to the line was huge. You know, obviously it helps him points-wise and things like that. But he knows he can make different plays. He knows that he can help the team out by dropping the dimes. He knows he can, you know, he's getting a little bit better as a defender. Still not a guy I'd be all that crazy about defensively, but he's improved in that area. I think overall, a lot of this credit also goes to Monty Williams, kind of putting that trust and building that relationship with him so that they can work on that.
I don't think people realize that, and I forget it at times as well, just what a great guy Monty Williams is and what this guy's been through personally, professionally, and to see him, extremely happy to see him have the success that he has right now. Mo, we got about a minute left before the break, and I want to throw a couple of other players at you on the other side. But, you talk about Devin Booker. We got to give some credit to Chris Paul, don't we? That, don't we have to say this guy just makes players around him better as well? And I saw it with Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors, in which, the practice habits, right, the intensity. Even if, they don't become buddies with you, other guys go, look, man, that's what he does. He shows up 2 hours before. Oh, okay, right? I hear people, Chris Middleton was talking about that. He goes, I'm learning now, I've been around, said you got to work to be great. You just don't show up. You got to work for this. How much do you think Chris Paul has an influence on the younger players around him?
He has a ton, and everywhere he's been, he's made guys better. That was the one instance where I got better, Dave, even as a video guy, because I was with him with the Clippers. I think
he made you smarter. Yeah, he's just that smart, right?
He is, and you just talk to him about the game and things like that. It can be a little bit frustrating. He's sometimes a know-it-all and things like that. But
oh, he's intense. But that's what that's. He's like a. I look at him like he's like the drummer in that movie Whiplash or the teacher. He's like a maestro that sees things his way, and it's got to be that way, right?
but the truth is, he's gotten you results. I think he's been able to elevate everybody around him. Guys like Cameron Payne just talk about how much they've learned from him and so on. So
look at Oklahoma City last year, Mo. Look at these guys. Look at Houston, people. Houston nearly beat the Warriors when he was there. All right, listen, we got to take a quick break. More with Mo on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're getting all fired up on the late night anger management class here, talking about Chris Paul. I want to say how he makes everybody better. Mo's worked with him in the past, and Mo, I didn't want to cut you off, but Matias doesn't play around when he hits the music. We got to go. But he was sick. He really does. He's always been criticized, though he doesn't play well in the playoffs. It's look at Oklahoma City. He put these guys on a map. They were the best team against the spread. They were legitimate contenders. They were one of the toughest teams to play against. He's with the Houston Rockets. They nearly beat the Golden State Warriors, but he gets hurt. You look back, people criticize those Clipper teams. Well, they want, it's not like the modern Clipper teams are much better right now.
Well, he took us to another. He put us on the map, him and Blake Griffin. With Blake, we were a team that was young and fun and interesting. Once we got Chris Paul, we were a serious team, serious about winning. So I think that made the difference there. And that's, again, it's just this is what Chris does, right? He's going to make you better. He's going to make the program better. He's going to make the guys around him better. He cares about winning. So, even when he's yelling at you, like you were saying, it's just because he wants the best out of you. So, and because he knows he needs the best out of you so he can win a championship. And I think that's just part of what goes with it for Chris.
I guess he's a quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback, right? He's just sort of, I've always loved the guy's game. I really have. I've always loved his intensity. And, I've always said, Mo, he's not your typical superstar because he's different. He's more mature. Look, he runs the players' union. He represents them. He's not
cool dude and like, you know, teenagers and kids, I got to get a Chris Paul jersey. He tucks his jersey in, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, but hey, it's old man YMCA ball. So let me ask you, Mo, I might sound like an idiot asking you this, but we've seen this in the past with Milwaukee, right? And we're like, all right, Giannis, and I think you and I even talked about it and said, it doesn't matter whether the coach is telling you to guard him. If you're Giannis, you got to say, listen, we're not letting KD drop 49 on us. I'm going to guard him. It's my team. I'm the face. I'm guarding him. Will they just get killed if they just sort of lock in and play man-to-man? Because it does seem to make sense on paper in a sense that it's like, all right, Tucker, we're going to put you with Paul. Holiday's a great defender. You deal with Booker. And then why not Giannis, Ayton? Why don't they man up? That's what I'm asking. Are they not good enough, deep enough? How come they can't just man up and play man-to-man against these guys?
Yeah, it's not about so much that they want to stay man-to-man. The problem is then the screen comes, and now they have to adjust there.
Yeah,
and that's where it becomes – it's the switching is really where it becomes a problem, right? Because now – your matchups get all screwed up. And a lot of these switches, even when they went small, it's almost like the Bucks are just too lazy to fight over the screens. It was really frustrating to watch. You know, P.J. Tucker had Booker. Then the screen comes, and he gives up the switch, so now Booker has Forbes, and he's going to operate on Brent Forbes. And no offense to Brent Forbes, but he's not quite the defender that P.J. Tucker is. But they just were willingly to make up that switch and to give the offense what they wanted. I think it's just a whole level. They just got to be tougher. You know, you don't have to switch every screen. There's no rule in the rule book. You know, you can fight through those screens and fight over the top and battle. And I think that's something the Bucks really got to do, you know, going forward. But it's not that different game from when they lost in the Atlanta game, you know, the first game of the Eastern Conference Finals when they lost to Atlanta. You know, they played Young a little bit soft, and Drew Holiday had a bad game, especially defensively, and it opened up opportunities. I think we're going to see a better defensive effort from the Bucks in game two, just for the pure fact of they're going to play it a little bit smarter.
Mo DeKeel with us. And Mo, you just Candace Parker'd me. I was Shaq, right? I was like, why don't they just play man-to-man? And I remember Candace Parker because players, I remember because she said, right, she didn't want to be insulted because she goes, Shaq, because guys can pass around the court like with ease nowadays, right? He goes, that's right. And he's like, well, I don't care. You just man up. And you know, she's like, because you're going to have to switch. I remember when she's drilled him a couple of times, but yeah, I guess I just was sort of old school there. Why don't you just man-to-man on this? No, and I get it, but you just nailed it too. And let's be real, we've seen this script throughout the entire playoffs, Mo. Every team is left for dead after one game. Milwaukee have been left for dead, man, like 13 times already, right? And we've seen this, and let's be real, I mean, even the regular season Milwaukee Bucks over the, you know, this team, so to speak, over the years, they can look really bad or look really good. Like they, you know what I mean? They'll lose to bad teams. They'll get blown out. Like the Bucks don't lose a lot of close games. They'll just get blown out, bro. And people will write them off. And the next game, they'll blow you out, Mo. We've seen this pattern with these guys before.
Yeah, and I'm not. And it, just the overreactions to game one is always a thing, right? In every series, like, oh, they got blown out. This series is over. I'm like, man,
yeah.
You know, the series starts at game two. Because the first game is literally like the first round of a boxing match where both teams are feeling each other out. Oh, that's your game plan? Okay, we can do this. Now it's about adjustments. This is where the series begins. With game two, you got to start figuring out how you're going to switch things up. You know, Bud's going to make changes defensively. That's going to lead to Monty Williams making changes. And Monty now has to start trying to figure out what those changes are going to be so that he can try to be progressive and attack those and be proactive to start game two. This is where the real fun begins in playoff series. Like, game ones are fun to me, but games two and three are always my favorite because that's where you start to really see the adjustments.
Mo DeKeel with us said, I don't want to simplify it too much, Mo, but I think you nailed it a couple of moments ago. They have to fight. They have to fight and work harder, right? And I hate the cliche who wants it more, but the Bucks looked like they were playing a regular season game last night. Like, you know what I mean? They were trading baskets, and it wasn't – they just weren't intense enough. You've got to dial it up a notch. And quite frankly, Phoenix have a better roster than they do, too. They're deeper. They have better players, in my opinion. Unless you get that run-through-the-wall type of effort, it's going to be a problem for Milwaukee.
Yeah, and this is it's actually something we've seen before. Like, just think about in Game 4 against Atlanta, you had a chance to go up 3-1. And even before Giannis got hurt, they really came out flat.
Yeah, they were going to lose that game anyways, where you're right.
Right, you know, and so we've kind of seen these things from them before, and that's always something that worries me about the Bucks a little bit. But I figured they're going to get locked in here. They're in the finals, and I think they took a punch to the mouth at the start of that game with the switching and everything. It sort of took everybody out of their rhythm, and once it stopped working, once it wasn't working, you were like, oh, we might be in trouble tonight. And I think that's sort of what kind of crept in with them. And give them a little bit of credit, they fought in the fourth quarter, cut the lead down to 7, looked like they were going to make it a game, and then the Suns won on another run.
No, you're exactly right. All right, we've got a couple more minutes left with Mo DeQuille. And also, listen, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, this went from the mainstream media reporting on Monday night that he was doubtful, which I didn't buy. I thought he was going to play, but I didn't know how many minutes. I didn't know the full circumstance. But if you're the Bucks, what's your opinion on Giannis, how he looked? And that's got to be something. And all right, listen, we lost game one, but we know Giannis is good to go for the rest of the series now.
Yeah, you feel confident. I mean, he didn't look great, but he looked okay. He moved well on some plays. I thought his defense was a little bit hampered by the injury more than his offense.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple of plays offensively. Like, he literally went through DeAndre Ayton for a dunk, you know. And I think there's flashes of that stuff. I think the more time, he's going to get a little bit more comfortable and more confident.
I love that, Mo. Sorry to jump in, but I love that. It goes back to, remember, he got called out for posting up on Harden, right? So, yeah, he posted up on Harden, and he got a little bit more aggressive. And I remember, so, the beautiful play, boom, man. Ayton was a ghost. He went right through him. Boom, slam dunk. You know, he did it again. I was like, all right, is he going to go for the same move? He didn't. And he sort of took it out for the little jumper that missed, actually. But it was still aggressive. I don't get why he did it, but as you stated, Mo, they were lingering around in the game, bro. You know, they're down 10, they're down 11, they're down 8, they're down 7, and there's Giannis starting to take some threes. There's Giannis.
Yeah.
And he misses the three, and they kick it out for another bad three to someone else. And those are bad habits. Bad habits. I mean, I thought he learned his lesson when he had that ultimate game of his career, when he didn't take one damn three against the Nets, Mo.
The problem is, I think, is we're dealing a little bit with ego in that sense, and not in a bad sense. It's just for years, all we've said, and I mean the royal we, is Giannis has to develop a 3-point shot. He's never going to be a dominant player. He's never going to be a great player until he develops a 3-point shot. So, you know, he knows he feels he has to take those to be able to show that I'm that guy, and then to make defenses kind of respect him. He wants to be able to draw out Ayton by making those. But I think it's just the mistake he's falling into, because I think somebody just needs to sit him down going like, man, you can make 7 straight. They're still not coming out to guard you. they're going to see if you can make 8. You know, like that's the deal there. And I think it's frustrating for all of us. I've kind of almost stopped tweeting about it because I'm so tired of it.
that's great. Oh, but you tell him that. You listen. You get it. I don't know if you know Coach Dave Smart. You probably do. Really sweet. Really, really great guy. He was coaching at Carleton and you know, Team Canada, etc. I think New Mexico. So I can go on, but same thing. I heard a line once in which kid took a shot. He was wide open. He missed. And the coach gave him a dirty look, and he said, "Coach, I was wide open." And he said, "There's an effing reason why you're always wide open."
Right? Yes.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's the thing, right? Like, if you're a player, you got to know your role, man. You got to know your spot. Mo DeQuille with us. All right, Mo, last question. We're going to get you out of here. Just from a betting perspective, I'm saying, listen, if Phoenix wins, Chris Paul's going to be the MVP. I'm buying in. Spectacular performance. Got the head start right now. So do you think when it's all said and done, Chris Paul, this is the redemption story? He wins a title and gets an MVP?
Absolutely. I mean, he.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Votes to win the regular season MVP. I think everybody's kind of looking at it a little bit as this is the story here. If Chris is just average the rest of the way after that great game one, I think he's going to end up winning the finals MVP. He was my pick before the series as well. So,
hey, always a pleasure, Bo. Love talking hoops with you. Thanks a lot for taking time to be with us.
No, thank you for having me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Marge, I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
Pieces following the late night meltdown and breakdown by the Montreal Canadiens. The season is done. Tampa wins. Kucherov is talking smack right now. I see Matt Perrault. Somebody just sent me a tweet. Oh, Matt Perrault's enjoying it. Yeah, whatever. You can't talk smack like weeks after a team's been bounced. It's too late for that. It's too late. And honestly, you know what? The Canadiens, they showed a ton of pride in the series. And they were in over their heads. I mean, you're talking about the defending Stanley Cup champions, right? Nobody's beaten this team. It's two straight years. Go through the list of teams that they played in the playoffs. Just off the top of my head, like who the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Dallas Stars, the Florida Panthers, the New York Islanders twice, the Canadians. Like, a lot of people stepped up and tried, and no one's beaten Tampa Bay. And Montreal didn't get smoked. You know what I mean? They just lost 1-0. They lost a game two that they dominated in, right? Like, it was very similar to the Islanders, even though the Islanders did go 7 with them. The Islanders, you know, remember when the Islanders were down 1-0? It felt like it was 11-0. It was like, man, they just can't score. And it was the same thing for the Canadiens. They just couldn't score. And I had a bad flashback tonight, too. I had a really bad flashback tonight. When the goal happened, I sort of saw it and stuff, and I watched it, but it was like, ugh. It was just such like a punch to the gut. I watched the replay quickly, but then I watched it a few times again after, and I've told the story before. We all have our heartbreak, but
man, it's the same damn thing, and it's crazy that I realized after the second intermission this, I was like, we're screwed. I was trying to be positive and stuff, but I was like, wow, we're going to lose 1-0, aren't we? And it was a couple of times that I was like, the Canadians are going to pull the goalie. They're going to have to get desperate here. And I thought the Canadians could score and tie it up. The in-game total was 2.5. I was like, or Tampa's going to score a couple of empty netters. And I just had like this crazy like flashback and stuff to being a goalie. And I was in the city finals in Montreal. And it was the semifinals. Like we won our league. Then we went to this tournament. Like we were climbing the ranks and stuff. And then we were against like real teams. All right. It was against like real, you know, we were stepping up and in against some real tough teams and stuff. And we got ambushed. We got ambushed in a game. And, you know, we got outshot. I even remember, I think we got outshot 22-9. And I was the goalie. So we got outshot 22-9 and we lost 1-0. We lost 1-0. And the goal wasn't the exact same, but it was the same. Like, Carey Price had zero chance to stop that. Like, the goal that was scored today, the winning goal by the Lightning, it was just whatever. It was a bang-bang textbook perfect play. They had the skill. They just had that extra level of skill. It goes to show, though, just how hard it is to win a Stanley Cup. It really is. It proves, like, you look at what you need, the skill, the talent, the grit, the luck, you know, just everything that you need is like, look at Tampa. As skilled as Tampa are, they've got like all these dudes on the team that can score, man. All right, like, they've got, like, you know, Kucherov is a badass. He's a jerk off, but he's a badass. You know, Stamkos was kind of silent. Stamkos, right? You know, Braden Point. You know, all their role players are all good and stuff, right? Everyone's good. Everyone's good. So, and look, they still have a hard time winning themselves. Like, it wasn't like it was easy for Tampa. Right? Like, they, you know, they battled and, you know, these games weren't easy. Right? Like, they were the better team and they won the cup comfortably in a sense, but it wasn't easy for them. I remember talking about that years ago with the LA Kings. Like, it really is tough, man, to win a Stanley Cup. Like, you've got to be stacked, man. Like you really do. Like, I remember talking about that with the LA Kings years ago, and the Kings had all these young studs and stuff, but they were also paying big time money to like the Carters and the Richards of the world and stuff. Right? So it's crazy. It's crazy. Like it goes to show you can be so close yet so far. Like the New York Islanders were so close yet so far. Like I had that feeling at the end of the game. And it's just, you know, I felt for Carey Price. Carey Price did everything he possibly could. Right? Like, there was, you know, like, everything he possibly could have tonight. The goal wasn't his fault. He didn't have, you know, his best in the five games. If you ask Carey Price, you know, how'd you play in the five games? You know, he played good. And, like, you know, by his standards, he wouldn't be happy. But there's nothing he could have done. Like, even if, let's just say Carey Price somehow made the save of the century and stopped their goal, they still would have lost, right? Like, the Canadians would still be trying to score right now. They're like a soccer team. You know what I mean? Like, you play defensively. We talked about it. It took all of their effort to try to stop Tampa from scoring, right? And they did a good job of that. But they had their chances. They couldn't finish. They had their chance. They couldn't finish. But you know what? I'm good. I'm good. I was very upset for a few minutes right after. It was almost like I felt like I was on the team. I had a bad flashback to losing 1-0. And I was like, oh, God, this is just like, really? Going down like this? But, you know, there's no shoulda, coulda, wouldas. You know, if you lose in seven games, you know, or you lose in a Super Bowl, like I'm a Bills fan, like Scott Norwood, it's like, oh, my God. if the field goal. Like, you're telling me that's all the difference is between the Bills being a laughing stock of Super Bowl jokes forever or being known as one of the greatest teams of all time. Like, was the difference of just a few feet of a stupid field goal, right? And one of those, like, you know what I mean? Michigan, there's been, like, times, like, there's been, like, you know, there's times where, you know, like, it's like, oh, God, if he didn't call the timeout. You know, that was different, too. I don't know if Michigan would have won that game, but there's always sort of, you know, if that didn't happen, right? You know, you look at the Saints and the Rams. Oh, if the, you know, that bad call didn't happen, we would have won. And you can't argue. It's like, yeah, you would have. You know what I mean? You probably would have, yes. Right? We don't have that. There's not like, oh, you know what? Only if that would have happened or this would have happened. Nah. It was just a, it's like real life. It was a bunch of little things that happened that just added up. It really was. The only thing I can say is if they would have won game two, you know what I mean? But whatever. Like, if fans of candies are butts, it's a 7-game series. You have enough opportunities to win. They were the better team. Like, there's no regrets. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, I won't even be upset when I wake up tomorrow about this. I won't be. And in fact, I'm looking forward to going to a Canadiens game next year. I'll fly in and go see them. All right, I won't even have to fly in. Hockey, they'll have fans back. So whatever the hell, whatever city I'm in at the time, I'll be able to see them again. See, it's all good. It's all good. We're fired up for the Bills right now. Like I said, I'm a Toronto Raptor fan. 3 years ago, they won the title. I'm an LA Dodger fan. They've gone to the World Series every couple of years and finally won. I'm a Canadiens fan, made it to the Stanley Cup final. I'm a Bills fan. We're due for a Super Bowl appearance. And we're going to ramp up our NFL talk now, actually, too, that the NHL has done and the NBA is winding down. What's up, Crash? Shout out to Nate in Los Angeles. Good to see you, Crash. Good to see you, Nate. So we talked about this earlier as far as the MVPs are concerned. And if you tune into Game Time Decisions today, man, like we said, we put this on a tee for you. Like, can you believe that? The Tampa Bay Lightning were -1800 to win the series coming into tonight. Yet the guy that was going to win the MVP for them was -135. Really? So you don't have this much of a discrepancy this time, but you can take advantage of it. In which Chris Paul, we talked about it. We talked about it last night. Chris Paul's been around for a long time, right? He's been criticized by the media in the past. It's their chance to make it up to him. He's killing it right now. We talked about his stats, 32 points last night, plus everybody's assists and his rebounds, his leadership. He's going to win the MVP. So, like, right now, and I'm hard-pressed. And, I had more faith in Milwaukee than a lot of people did, right? But with that being stated, Milwaukee are in a lot of trouble right now. I don't think Milwaukee can beat Phoenix. Phoenix are just, they're deeper, they're a step quicker, they're a better rebounding team, and they have better players. Like, Milwaukee are not a deep basketball team. Phoenix are semi-deep. I know Saric is out now. But, and I still think Milwaukee will win a couple of games. I think this series is going to, you know, still go 6. It might go 7. I think Milwaukee have a puncher's chance here still, but my point is the odds last night were 140. Now it's 150. I bet you in the morning it's going to be 175. Phoenix win tomorrow. Chris Paul has a good game. It's -250. All right, it's going to swing big time. So there's our words of wisdom for you. Take Chris Paul to win the MVP. And if you think Milwaukee has a chance still, take Giannis. Or you can even wait. Take Chris Paul now. Let Phoenix win again tomorrow. Giannis will pop up from 5-1 to like 8-1, 10-1 type thing. Then you hop on Giannis and hope he has a couple of big games at home and they tie the series up and then start middling the stuff going all around, you know? Man, this show's flown by. I didn't think it would. The show is therapy for us, right? So this show is therapy for us. But at the same point in time, man, like I said, it's kind of rough. It's been a big ride. It's just that suddenness is done. But that's life. The cycle of life continues. We didn't get into the UFC yet. There's some cool fights on this card. I don't even care about Connor and Poirier. But yeah, the card is cool.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning?
Neither do we.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Say, when's the next game? There are no more games. That's that. We're on to the NBA Finals. We told you, if you like the Phoenix Suns to win the series, just take Chris Paul to win the MVP. Phoenix are minus 300 right now to win the series, but you get Chris Paul at minus 150 to win the MVP. If you think Milwaukee are going to get back in this, you take Giannis at plus 500 right now. I think Phoenix probably win again tomorrow and Milwaukee win back at home. Like, we've seen this pattern from Milwaukee before. I'm going to be taking the over again. So the game, and it's funny, remember I said on Game Time Decisions the other night, I said to me the total should be 222.5, 223 type thing, and even 224, and it got to 223, and it was 219, 219.5. It was 220.5 for game two. It's 220 right now. And yeah, you could argue that, oh, Milwaukee have to be better defensively. They can't be. Like, they're the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not good defensively. Like that, you know, better defensively. What do you want them to do? Bobby Portis going to turn into Lawrence Taylor overnight? There's a problem, Matias. Use that. That's good. That's good. That's a good one right there. The game's going to go over. Guys, they played in the regular season. They played in the regular season, and they got to 249 points. They played again. They got to 256. They played last night, and Milwaukee didn't even shoot the ball well, and they got to 223. It's 220. We're going to go back to the over again. So tomorrow it'll be NBA talk. Teddy Covers will be with us tomorrow night, like he's every Thursday, but it's the last time Teddy's going to join us for a little while. He does his little, every summer he does his, he shuts it down. He shuts it down for like 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah, Teddy will be on tomorrow night, but I think he's off and he'll be gone until like August type thing. One by one, they drop. And then Friday night will be soccer night. We got the Euros. We got the Copa Cabana. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
You're listening to sports news you can actually use.